So open the Bibles, Matthew chapter 22. We just want to look quickly at the passage that they spoke of today. Follow the light. During this season, we love the flashing lights. Many will drive and look at decorations. Let me ask, how many of y'all take your family out looking at decorations? All three of you. That's awesome. Good, no. And maybe you drive far away, get to see some nice decorations and see around and snowmen and Santa and blow up whatever, wreaths and Christmas trees and even a big old star at some houses, and they're pretty. Here we go. It's going to start ringing on me, isn't it? And they represent something. I think if you mute the video, I think is what's causing the feedback. So, it's a good question. I think they muted it. Oh, yes. But we know that those things represent something. Right? They are just pretty, and some of them are just that, something to have fun with, and they lead you nowhere. But we know that there are certain symbols that remind us of something very important. When Jesus was born, there was only one decoration. And the truth is, it wasn't really a decoration. It had a bigger purpose. If you think of when Jesus was born, they didn't put animals around Jesus because it was pretty. You want animals around your baby when he was born? They didn't have a little manger scene because it was cute. You say Merry Christmas, Joseph and Mary, and they'd be like, yeah. You know where we're sleeping? Riding a donkey, trying to find a room. It's a tough night. It was tough. But there was a bigger purpose. And we see the light that shined over them was more than a decoration, it was a marker. That those that would follow the light would be guided to someone special. The star was more than something to look at. It was guiding you to a person to worship. So if you're able, stand with me right now, and let's do a responsive reading of this story in Matthew chapter 2. And for the sake of different versions, I'm going to put it on the screen. I'll read the odd numbers if you'll follow with the even numbers. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12 is what we're going to read. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your love to us. And Lord, I ask that this time of your scriptures, that we'd be spoken to, we'd be challenged. If there's someone here who's never placed their faith in you, this can be that day. We thank you for the children and their message. Lord, that each one of us would learn of Jesus Christ and his life for us. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we look at this passage, I just have 4 points. And you're like, oh no, 4? Very, very short and quick. You listen fast, I'll speak fast, and we'll go. Because we assume in this story very often, there's how many wise men? 3. That's the assumption. We see it in movies, we see it in cartoons, we see it in pictures. This assumption, because there was 3 gifts. The scripture don't say so. It may be a group gift. It may be a bunch of them given these very special gifts. Or maybe it's because these 3 gifts had a greater significance. Understand that these gifts had a great purpose. We're going to talk about these next week. Make sure you're here as we just quickly look at what these gifts mean. But some tradition and some history actually teach there was only 3. But we don't know that according to Scripture. And also as a misconception, the wise men did not appear at the stable. It's easy because we tie all a Christmas story together, but they didn't appear in the stable. The verse we really just read, verse 11, tells us they came to his house after he had already moved to a home. And also we know that he was probably 2 to 4 years old when they arrived, because that's why Herod was trying to kill babies 2 years and under. But anyway, as we read this text of delight, that these men followed to come to Christ, we see 4 quick points. The first thing is they believed God's word. They believed God's word. You might say it's a star in the sky. Well, these men were not simple men. They were studied men known as magi, meaning wise men. They were not kings, as the song, "We 3 kings," you don't want me to sing the rest, do you? They were not kings, but "We 3 wise men" didn't rhyme, so they didn't use it in the song. They used 3 kings. They were wise men. They were men of science. They studied the stars. They noticed this special star. In other words, it stood out. It got their attention. And probably what it did, it reminded them of Balaam's prophecy when he tried to curse Israel. But God prophesied through him. In Numbers 24, verse 17, he says, "And I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Did you catch that? A star shall come out of Jacob. What's Jacob's other name? Israel. Where's the star that they are following? In Israel. You know, they did not blow off God's word as that's just some little prophecy. They believed it and they applied it. And when we apply God's word, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. When we believe God's word, it will always cause action in our life. Don't say you believe God's word if you're not obedient to it. You must follow it. It'll transform you. So as they believed God's word, the second thing we see is they pursued Jesus. They pursued him. They wanted to get to know him. They wanted to see who this was the prophet spoke of. The scripture says they came from the east. Well, we could have someone come from the east just a couple minutes away, right? No, this reference that was used here usually meant they came from an area about 800 or 900 miles away. 800 or 900 miles to you and I, really, that's considerably not that much. We can travel it easily within a couple days, if not in the same day. Right? But now put yourself in their shoes. You try traveling that by camel. I want to go around the block on a camel. The camel don't want to go around the block with me on its back either. I guarantee you that. That's a long trip when you consider the animal, the terrain, the area they lived in, 800 or 900 miles. But they saw the value in pursuing this promised one. They didn't know the name Jesus yet. They knew he was promised in the Old Testament by God. by the prophets of God. So they saw it was worth pursuing him. Going after. How much do we want to pursue him? Oh, I want to know him. Well, you opening up God's word? You study to show thyself approved? Are you committed to his church? You see here, they saw the value in going after this promised king so that they traveled afar through this distance in this terrain. And many believe their travel would have taken 2 to 4 years to actually find Jesus, because the star came up when he was born, but they didn't find him until he was in his house. But they continued until they arrived under that shiny marker in the sky, the star. And when we see Jesus for who he is, when we see the one that God had promised, and for us, we see the one that God has brought, what is our reaction when we know who he is? The third point is they humbled themselves to worship him. They humbled themselves in worship. These men that were known, they were wealthy. They had a lot of stuff. They had a lot of servants to help them travel. Don't think that wise men would have traveled alone. They were on their camels, but they had a lot of servants bringing their stuff and their gear. They didn't bring no little backpack. They were rich. They had good stuff. There's a difference now we travel, ain't it? And so they had a lot of servants. They were powerful. But realize what they did when they came to him. They humbled themselves. They worshiped Jesus. They didn't look around to make sure no one saw what they were going to do. All they could do in his presence is worship. All they could do, because they had studied the scriptures to know who he was to worship him, recognize him for who he is. And they gave him great and expensive gifts. Those gifts weren't just some chunk of gold and frankincense and myrrh. There's a purpose for those. Very symbolic to the life of Christ. Each of those gifts was a humble and generous way of them saying, "Thank you, God." Now time to leave. As they were spent their time worshiping, they recognized him. And as believers, we don't just sit around and come to know Jesus. We too have a command to go and to preach the gospel, to make him known. Well, it was time for them to leave. But if you remember, King Herod told them to return and share the news with them so that he too could go and worship Jesus. Now, that was just a ploy. We know in Scripture what his original plan was, to kill Jesus. Because he was afraid of the prophecy and who this baby just might really be. So he said, "Come and tell me where he's at so I too can go worship." But you know, as we saw in the scripture, the wise men did not know Herod's bitterness. But God warned them, don't go to him. Go home a different route. When you travel 800 or 900 miles by camel, and you going home, you don't want someone to tell you to go the long way. You with me? What's the shortest way home? But the last point we see with them is they obeyed God rather than man. These wise men that believed the scriptures, they humbled themselves to Jesus Christ and worshiped him because they pursued him. Now they have submitted to God in obedience rather than to man. They didn't return to the king. Now understand, this would be hard. Because if they returned to the king, what would happen? Probably they would get a reward. Some thank you. That was normal for kings in that day, to bring some appreciation. You with me? To bring him something to say thank you. And so there would have been a great reward from a king for them if they were obedient to the king. They would also gain favor with him. It's always good to be on the good side of a king. You didn't want him against you. But they could have gained favor with him. But understand this. It was also a dangerous thing to disobey the king. He could have sent soldiers to pursue him, to arrest him and kill them for being disobedient to the king. But you know what they did? They chose to obey God rather than man. Why? They knew that obedience to God is always the best option. Remember me? Obedience to God is always the best option. God is the protector of his people. Look at the nation of Israel has been attacked for how many thousand years? God has kept him going, kept him alive. That is his people. Believers are his people. Believe he'll keep you alive. If you're a child of God, you've called upon the name of Jesus, place your faith in him, you have everlasting life. It cannot be taken from you. He protects you by his power. These wise men knew that God is the protector of his people. And God always brings blessing to obedience. We as a church have experienced this in the last few years. Handful of situations we wouldn't like to go through. It's easier to just keep skipping along. But when we stop and we're obedient, whether it's to support missions, whether it's to stand up against sin, it's to preach truth, whether someone gets mad or not, God will bless us for obedience. And imagine I knew this. What an example these wise men are. And they should call us to question ourselves and look at our own lives. Are you and I following the call of God? Are we? He's given us plenty of markers. You with me? He's given us markers that lead us to Jesus Christ. He's given us his word. That includes the law of God. You know all those laws, the thou shalt nots? We can talk how those don't apply to us anymore. However, they're there for a purpose. They are there to point to Jesus Christ. Because you know what? You've broken a thou shalt not, haven't you? Not me, because I'm pastor. Just kidding. I've broken them too, man. Y'all serious today. The law of God is there. Why? As a marker that you need Jesus. You've broken the law of God and his holiness. He sends the Spirit of God. When Jesus is the point of the Spirit, what does he do? He brings conviction. He lets us know that we are sinners. He sent prophets throughout the Old Testament that warned people to repent. He sends the apostles to preach the name of Jesus. He tells us as his people to preach Jesus. The purpose of his church is to preach Jesus. Why? Everyone needs salvation, and there's only one Savior. And his name is Jesus. Don't be shy about it. See, God's given us many lights, if you will. And all those markers point to one Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you, have you listened to the message? Have you believed God's word? Have you pursued a relationship with him? Have you called upon him as Savior? Because he will save you of your sins. Not just simply save you. He'll wash you clean. He says he'll take his righteousness and place it upon you. To when the Father looks at you, what he sees is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Woo! And he takes my sinfulness, my violation of the holiness, and take it upon himself. And just speaking for myself, that's a lot. But he takes it for you if you'll give it to him. And he carried your sinfulness where? To the cross. And I always got to point out his cross wasn't pretty and buffed up like this one. It was splintery, nasty, and huge. And he takes it there so that his holy blood can pour out and wash our sins away. And so I ask you, have you pursued a relationship with him? Have you stopped to worship him as King and Lord? In other words, you bow down and call out to him as Savior. Have you decided to obey God instead of man? That's a turn from your own desires, your own flesh. Things that get our attention that we know don't honor God. Have you turned from those and honored God? That's what he created you for his praise. If you have not, I'd love to show you in God's word how you can be saved, how you can come to Jesus. You'll be forgiven of every sin that you've ever committed. Yeah, that one that comes to mind, that one too. See, and when that happens together, we can come and worship Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And we'll worship Him as our King and as our Savior. That's what we're here for today. To remember who He is. As He entered this world as a little baby. As God Himself put on flesh, as we saw last week, and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory. Wow, that's a humble Savior who loves you so much. He's calling you to Himself. He's giving you a marker. He's saying, come to Me. Why? Because He wants to cleanse you of your sinfulness. If you noticed, when those wise men pursued Jesus, and He arrived to be able to worship Him, in verse 10 it tells us, they rejoiced. They were full of joy. Church, we don't come together to just be somber and cry, do we? We're going to rejoice that we have a loving Savior. That our loving Savior put His holiness upon us so that we could be holy. Is that something worthy of singing about? Is that something worthy of knowing about and to sharing and telling the world about? See, if you'll follow the markers that God has placed before you and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will have the joy that only God can give you. No, I'm not saying this temporary happiness, giggly life. I'm talking one of inner peace because I have a relationship with the Judge, with the Creator of all universe. And let me tell you this, that is worth celebrating. That is worth telling others about. So would you stand with me? We have a lot to rejoice about. And you have nothing else going well. Your entire life is tough. You can remember that your eternity is sealed in Jesus Christ. And that you can still have joy in the midst of hurt on this earth. Because God has done a great work in you, and He'll continue doing that work in you until He's perfected you in the appearance of His Son, Jesus. So let's do the same, what we should be proclaiming every day, what the world should see in us because we are children of God. Joy to the world.